Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he commended the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and when he was called to go out to a place that was to receive, he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones.
Good to be with you. Always a great privilege and honor to bring the Word of God and to share with you. My name is Chin, in case you haven't met me. And I saw that over the last week or two ago, you also had a sermon on Revelation chapter 21, which is great because it ties in a little bit with what we'll be talking about this morning. Now, let me start by telling you about Charles Templeton. So Charles Templeton, so you probably know the person next to him. So he's the one on the left. He may not be familiar to all of you. He was an evangelist who became famous in the 1940s together with Billy Graham. So they were close friends early on in their lives, and many who knew the both of them, they thought between the both of them, Charles Templeton, he was the one who was more gifted, who was the one who was more talented, and he's the one that's going to change the world. So he planted a church. He became vice president of Youth for Christ International in 1945. And he's the one who actually nominated his good friend, Billy Graham, to be the field evangelist for this new ministry. So they regularly, they spoke to thousands of people. They won many people to Christ, both in America and also in Europe as well. Now, despite all the fruitfulness of his ministry, one of the things that he did was that he began to question the essentials of the Christian faith. So he eventually decided to enroll in Princeton Theological Seminary, and thinking that he could try to study the Christian faith more critically, right? He felt the need to build his ministry with a broader understanding of the faith. And he wanted Billy Graham to attend that with him. But of course, Billy Graham, he was uneasy about it. He realized that Templeton has been questioning many parts of the Bible. And Templeton said to Billy Graham that, you know, Billy Graham was committing intellectual suicide by closing his mind and not questioning the claims of the Christian faith, especially the scriptures, especially the Bible. But Billy Graham did not go, only Templeton went. And eventually Templeton's doubts about everything he stood for became too great. He decided to leave the ministry, decided to leave his faith. And towards the end of his life, he published an autobiography called Farewell to God, before he died at the age of 86. He did not persevere in his faith. It's a tragic story. Tragic story. He had so much promise, but Charles Templeton did not persevere in his faith. But what does perseverance in the faith look like? What does a Christian who believes in God and perseveres in his faith look like? Well, today we are looking at this famous chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11. Many have called the Hall of Fame of Faith. It is a brilliant and encouraging passage in Hebrews. Now, if you don't know, Hebrews was a sermon that's given by a pastor to his church to encourage them to persevere in their faith. So if you have a look at the end of Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 32, so if you have your Bibles, turn with me there if you can. We'll just quickly talk through the context. We get a small hint of what the Hebrew church is like. So the pastor says, you know, recall the former days when you were enlightened. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. So it seems that the church suffered, they endured persecution once upon a time, but now it seems like they are tempted or on the verge of giving that up. Look at verse 35 and 36 of chapter 10. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So the pastor here is urging them on to persevere in their faith, to endure, not to give up. There's a reward at the end. God has promised great things, so he's saying to them, don't give up, keep persevering, enduring, continue doing the will of God. And that is what the pastor has been doing throughout the book of Hebrews. He's urging them on, he's calling them to persevere. And he's urging his listeners to endure, to persevere, not to give up like the generation in the wilderness. So this is a sermon, and hopefully by the end of this sermon, you'll see why that's a sermon, designed to call Christians to persevere on. And chapter 11, then, is the climax of this sermon. Okay, and in this chapter, he is calling and urging Christians like you and me to persevere in our faith until the end. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11, the pastor gives us numerous examples of people in the Old Testament who have indeed lived their lives by faith and they persevered to the end. So we had our Bible reading until verse 22. So I will read the rest of chapter 11. Verse 22 onwards, it's not on the screen, but follow along in your own Bible. And then from verse 32, you can have a look at the screen. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, nor being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, and they were killed with the sword. They went about in sheep, skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule. May your spirit be our teacher. And may your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So how does the pastor encourage Christians to persevere in their faith? So he starts with one of the most memorized and most quoted verse in the whole Bible. And I know some of you would know this verse like the back of your hand, isn't it? Like he says, faith is assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Now, first, we've got to realize that's not an exhaustive definition of what faith is, right? He leaves some important elements out that's not included in this verse, but it gives us a very clear understanding of what faith is. So there are two things I want you to notice about what the pastor says about faith in this verse. Two things. He says faith looks forward to the future, right? Faith looks forward to the future. And faith demonstrates this future in the present. Faith demonstrates the future in the present. So there are elements of the future and elements of the present. Now, if you want to impress your friends, you can say faith is eschatological. Now, let's look at the first element. Faith looks forward to the future. Look at the first half of verse 1. Faith is assurance of things hoped for. Now, Paul says something very similar in Romans chapter 8. He says in verse 26, I think, now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now, as we read the Bible, we know and we realize that there are things that God has promised us. He has promised that we will receive these things in the future. And these are the things that we eagerly await for. And we have confidence, we have assurance that we will receive the fulfillment of the promises of God in the future, not because we deserve it, but precisely because God is the one who promised them. And we know that God is faithful to his promises. It's like children receiving gifts during Christmas, right, from their parents. Now imagine the joy and the anticipation and the longing a child has if, you know, his or her parents come to tell them in June that they would get the biggest and best gift in the world for their child. But they will only receive that gift in Christmas. What would the child be thinking? They'll be longing for Christmas. They'll be looking forward with it, anticipating it. And if the parents are good and loving parents, they are parents who keep their promises, then this child would have every confidence, every assurance that they will receive this gift. Now imagine if the parent is God himself. God keeps his promises. And he has promised great things in the future. And throughout Hebrews, the pastor has been telling his listeners, his hearers, about some of these things that God has promised for us. You know, eternal life, resurrection from the dead, rest from guilt and shame, new glorified body, a body that's free from sin, our inheritance that's waiting for us in heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, and on and on. And in our Bible reading, we get a glimpse of that, isn't it? What it's going to be like in Revelation 21. This new creation will be a place where God will be fully present with his people. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. Everything that is wrong with this world, that will be no more. That's our future. That's what God has promised us. But we don't experience these things right now, do we? But we do know God is a good and faithful God. He's a God who keeps his promises. And that's why we have assurance in the things that we hope for in the future. We have that assurance, that confidence. So faith looks forward to the future. That's the first element. Now the second element is this. Faith demonstrates that future in the present. Faith demonstrates the future in the present. Because faith looks forward to the future, what happens is that it affects our present lives now. Now think about that. If we have full assurance, if we have full assurance of the things that we hope for in the future, we take hold of what God has promised as something as real and solid, even though we may not have or experience it yet. We have conviction of things hoped for. And this conviction makes these things real, makes these promises real to us in our lives now in the present. And we will live as though these promises are true because they are true. Which then makes it faith and brings a foretaste of the spiritual blessings today in the present that we will only experience fully in the future. Right? Faith provides us with a demonstration in the present about the sure promises of God that's to be fulfilled in the future. So take the Christmas illustration I gave a minute ago. Let's say the parent, they say to their child, they talk to the child, hey, we see that you really love playing the keyboard at school. We can see your passion for that. So what we are going to promise you is that we will get you a grand piano for your Christmas gift this year. It's coming. We'll give you a grand piano. But to prepare you and to give you a taste of what it's going to be like, what we're going to do is that we are going to send you for lessons with someone with a grand piano. Now, what do you think the child will feel or do? Well, he or she will be longing for it, waiting in great anticipation. And what would happen is that this child will be extra motivated to improve their playing skills, isn't it? So that when they actually get the grand piano, they know how to play it. And what else do you think the child will be doing? They will act as if the piano is real, isn't it? It's already theirs. They'll be planning where to put the piano, start learning how to take care of it, reading up online what it's like, checking out YouTube videos, and on and on and on. Even though they don't actually have the piano just yet, they are having a taste of what it's going to be like. They're demonstrating in the present what they'll be having in the future. In the same way, for us Christians, when we think about God's promises, promises that we have in Christ that will be fully ours in the future. We are excited about these promises. And even though these promises are not fully fulfilled yet, we have a foretaste of it today. So for example, God promises us new bodies, new resurrection bodies in the future. We get a taste of that in the regeneration of our hearts. Jesus promises that we will be rejoicing in the wedding supper of the Lamb when he comes back again. We get a taste of that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We get a glimpse of our glorious future together with people from every tribe and every nation and every tongue worshiping God. We get a taste of that in and through the church. So we get a taste of that. We are longing for all that God has promised us. And as we take these promises as real and solid, we get a foretaste of that today. So two elements about faith in verse 1. Faith looks forward to the future, but faith demonstrates this future in the present. In the present. And when we take these two elements together, as Christians, we can persevere until the end. Because we are looking for, we are longing for these promises that we have in Christ. Now, some of you may be thinking, you know, that's fine, that's great, but what does it actually look like in real life? How does it make any difference? I mean, practically speaking, does it really make that much of a difference? How does that help us in our perseverance? Well, good questions. And guess what? The pastor has already answered all these questions by giving us a whole chapter of examples of the principles he just mentioned in verse 1. So the rest of Hebrews chapter 11 flows out of verse 1. So for the next few hours, I won't go through every list. I won't go through all the characters, but if you notice, he goes through many, many characters throughout the Old Testament. And if you, again, read it properly, he follows on chronologically through the Old Testament history. Now, we don't have time to go through every single one of them. If you have time, go home, read the chapter, and read the corresponding chapters in the Old Testament, if you can. But today we will focus on three examples of the principles, that we just heard. Abraham, Moses, the others. Abraham, Moses, the others. So let's look at the first example, Abraham. So look at verses 8 to 16. Now, if you remember the story of Abraham, you will know that in Genesis chapter 12, God called him out of the land where he was, and God asked him to go to the land of Canaan. And God promised him that he will bless him, that he will be inheriting the land of Canaan, and he will become the father of many nations with innumerable descendants. Now, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Did he know where he was going? Did he know what the land is going to look like? Did he know what the people was going to be like? See, unlike us, he can't just go to Google Maps and search how to get there or use Street View to, you know, see what it's like. When Horizon first moved into this building, I had no idea where it was. I was just told, you guys have moved into this primary school, and now I have to come here. But what do I have? By the grace of God, I had Google Maps. Just type into the internet, Google Maps, search. I can check Street View. Ah, that's how it's going to look like. This is where I can park my car. I had that. Abraham had nothing like that. All he had was the promise and the word of God. And all those years that he traveled to Canaan, and on his way to the land of Canaan, all he had to go by was God's promises. And by faith, by trust, he arrived there as a foreigner, and the land did not belong to him yet. And despite this, he made his home in the promised land. And how was he able to do this? Look at verse 10. Because he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Because he was looking forward to the future, and he demonstrated that reality of the future in his actions in the present. So faith looks forward to the future, demonstrate that in the present. And by Abraham's faith in God, that faith was demonstrated by his obedience when he left his land with the promise of a new home. He has never seen it before, and even after he entered it, he did not possess it. He is able to do this because he looked forward to the city with foundations built by God. And when Abraham died, he still did not receive the things that God promised him. Verse 13, these all, referring even to those before Abraham, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. What he had, was a foretaste of the future. The promised land never really belonged to Abraham, but he had a foretaste of what it's going to be like because he made the land his home. Abraham never really experienced the fact that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky or as numerous as the sands on the seashore. But the birth of Isaac gave him a foretaste of that promise from God. So what Abraham had is that he saw these realities in the future. He welcomed them in the present, realizing that in this life he was only a foreigner. He was longing for a better country, a heavenly country, as verse 16 says. And these characters, their lives and their thoughts were not focused upon this life or this earth. They looked forward to the future. And then their faith demonstrated that future in the present. That's our first example. Second example, Moses. Look at verse 24 to 28. Now, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace. See, God had miraculously saved him from Pharaoh's evil schemes to kill all the Israelite babies. And somehow or another, Moses ended up growing up and cared for and being raised in a royal palace. Now, after Moses had grown up, he refused to be identified with the family of Pharaoh. Instead, in verse 25, we read that he chose to be identified as an Israelite and chose to be mistreated along with them. He'd rather do that than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Being identified with them is of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. Again, why? Verse 26, because he was looking ahead, looking forward to his reward by faith. By faith, he led the Israelites out of Egypt. He did not fear the king's anger. And Pharaoh wasn't exactly nice to the Israelites, but Moses wasn't scared of him. Verse 27, he endured as seeing him, as seeing God, who is invisible. Verse 28, Moses kept the Passover. He followed the instructions that God gave him about putting blood on the doorpost so that the destroyer will pass over the firstborn of Israel. Now, how did he know that the angel will spare the firstborn of Israel? How did he know that he would be successful in leading the Israelites out of Egypt and freeing them from slavery? How did he know that they would not just be wiped out by the armies of Pharaoh? The only way and the only thing he was able to rely upon was God's promises. He trusted in God's promises that the Israelites' firstborn will be spared. And his faith looked forward to the fulfillment and caused him to act in a way that demonstrated that in the present. He believed in God's promises, looks forward to the future. Now, let's look at our last example, or rather examples, the others. So take a look with me to verse 32 to 38. Now, up to this point, the pastor has already listed a whole bunch of Old Testament characters who lived their lives by faith. But here, he mentions that there are even more characters that he could be telling about, but he doesn't have time to do so. Sounds like a sermon, isn't it? He lists out characters such as Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. Let's look at how he summarizes them. Right, verse 33. These characters, they did wonderful, fantastic things for God through faith. Right? They conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the power of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, on and on and on. Fantastic stuff they did for God. Amazing things they did for God through faith. And sometimes when we read things like that, we think to ourselves, whoa, if only I have faith to even just do half of what these people did. That would be amazing, isn't it? Let's read on. Let's read verse 35 onwards. And here we find that some of these characters, they were tortured, even refused to be released so that they might gain an even better life. Some faced jeers and mocking and flogging, chains and imprisonment. Some were put to death by stoning. Some were sawed in two. Some were killed by the sword. Those are terrible things that happened to them. Terrible conditions. They were persecuted, they were mistreated. And then we suddenly think, maybe I'm not sure I want all of that. You see, sometimes when we think about having faith in God, we have a very rosy or perfect picture in our minds of, you know, good things when we have faith in God. Sometimes we have this idea where once we live our Christian lives by perfect faith, God will do miraculous things in our lives. Right? Maybe we think about there's going to be a revival breaking out in our workplaces because, you know, of your evangelistic efforts. That everyone becomes a Christian because of what you do. Or maybe because of your Christian faith, your complete faith, your business will run really well, your deals will go through, it'll be successful. and life will be plain sailing from then on. Or that if you have faith, you will not face the pain of losing friends or family members to cancer or persecution. Hebrews doesn't allow us to think like that. All these people had faith in God Almighty, but they still went through some horrible, horrible conditions, horrible situations. Some of the things they went through were precisely because of their faith in God. Sometimes when we have faith in God, we can do magnificent things for God. Not because we are so great or so wonderful, but because God in His great mercy, sometimes He chooses to use us for His glory. But there are times where we suffer and we go through horrific situations, yet by God's grace, by God's miraculous hand, through faith in His promises, we can persevere on in our faith. We can persevere on in our faith because we know what God has promised us. God preserves us in our faith, through our faith, in His promises. And listen to what the pastor says about these faithful people. He makes the point that the world is not worthy of these people. What an amazing thing to say about them. The world subjected these faithful people to flogging, to abuse, to imprisonment, to persecution, to death, because the world judged them to be unworthy. For God, that's precisely the reverse. This world is not worthy of people like that. And like the others in the rest of this chapter, by faith, they looked forward to what God has promised them, and they took hold of that in their lives. So three examples we looked at: Abraham, Moses, the others. And these are just examples, great illustrations of what the pastor said about faith in verse 1. Faith is confidence or assurance in things hoped for and conviction about things we do not see. And this faith looks forward to the future and demonstrates that future in the present. And remember why he wrote this chapter in the first place. He wrote it to encourage and exhort and call Christians to persevere in their faith. And just like the Old Testament saints persevered by faith, we are called to follow the example by faith in God's promises today. And in verse 39, we read that all these Old Testament saints, they were all commended for their faith. Even though none of them received what was promised, they all persevered by faith. They look forward to a time when God will fulfill all His promises to His people. They were looking and longing for a better country, a heavenly country, a city where the designer and builder is God. And we join them. We join them today in looking forward to this city, to this new heaven and a new earth where we will receive our new immortal bodies. We look forward to a time where we will finally be with Jesus. That's what we're looking forward to. And as we are waiting and looking forward to this future, we trust God in His promises. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Jesus has promised that He will be with us always to the very end of the age. So no matter what we are going through in our lives, no matter what kind of hardship or persecution or guilt or shame, God is there for you. God is there with you. So let me encourage all of us here to look forward to the grand and majestic future that we have in Christ. We fix our eyes upon Jesus, our Lord and our King, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's trust in our good and faithful God, who makes everything new again, who will wipe away every tear from our eyes in a new heaven and a new earth. Faith is assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. For by faith the people of old, they received their commendation. And by faith, Abraham, when called by God, he obeyed God and left where he was to go to a foreign land, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in that land, even though it never really belonged to him. By faith, Moses chose not to be identified with the Egyptians, but rather identified himself with the Israelites. By faith, Moses courageously redeemed and led the Israelites out of Egypt and brought them to the brink of the promised land. And by faith, many of the Old Testament characters, they did wonderful, grand, and miraculous things for God. By faith, they united the kingdom, they enforced justice. By faith, they shut the mouths of the lion, they destroyed the armies of their enemies. By faith, they endured hardships and persecutions and torture and death. The world is not worthy of them. By faith, the 12 apostles went out to all of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, and they proclaimed the gospel to Jews and Gentiles alike. By faith, when they endured opposition to the gospel message, they still faithfully planted churches and brought the gospel to the world. By faith, Paul endured shipwrecks, imprisonment, and flogging as he brought the gospel to the Gentile world. By faith, Paul also planted churches. He trained leaders up. He wrote letters to them to encourage them to resolve and deal with the many issues that cropped up in these churches. By faith, Athanasius defended the doctrine of the Trinity against heresy in the 3rd century, even when seemingly the whole world was against him and has abandoned the doctrine. By faith, even though he was exiled from his home country and his church many times throughout his life, he still valiantly wrote against heresies and defended the Trinity while he was still a fugitive. By faith, Augustine gave up his sexually promiscuous lifestyle and became one of the most influential theologians of the Christian church in the 4th and 5th century. By faith, he, through the intellect that God had gave him, he wrote books that became the foundational and theological bedrocks of the Christian faith over the next 2,000 years. By faith, Martin Luther stood in front of the Holy Roman Emperor and the kings of many other nations. He rejected the authority of popes and councils. By faith, even though he was under tremendous pressure and under the threat of death, Luther still boldly proclaimed and defended the final authority of God's word and the doctrine of justification by faith alone. By faith, Susanna Wesley gave birth and raised 19 children, of which 9 of them died during infancy. She raised them mostly by herself, as her husband was frequently away from the family. And by faith, when the minister of their church did not preach biblical sermons, she took it upon herself to gather the whole family for their own family services and read her father's sermons to them. By faith, Susanna Wesley raised John and Charles Wesley, and her example became their foundation of the Methodist Church. By faith, William Carey traveled to India as a Christian missionary, and he became known as the father of modern missions. By faith, he translated the Bible into many different languages in India, and he started schools for impoverished children to read and write. By faith, William Wilberforce, after being motivated in his faith in Christ to put his Christian principles into practice, he led a movement of the abolition of the slave trade, despite much opposition in Parliament. By faith, he persevered in his efforts, and eventually the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 was passed, abolishing the slave trade 3 days just before he died. By faith, Mary Slessor became a Scottish Presbyterian missionary in an area in Nigeria where male missionaries had been killed. By faith, she lived with the Efik people for 15 years. She learned to speak their native language. And by faith, she was able to evangelize. She promoted women's rights. She protected native children. And she ended the practice of infanticide of twins in that area. And by faith, a group of people and families first started meeting together as a church, which became known as Horizon Reformed Christian Fellowship. By faith, not knowing what the future holds, they first met in Sorrento Community Hall. I still remember that. Doing what they can to keep meeting together as a people of God out of obedience and faith in Christ. And by faith, those of us who are here today, we persevere on, not because of how great we are, because of how great God is. By faith, we endure what the world can throw at us. By faith, we will cling on to our hope in Christ, despite any hardships or struggles or guilt or shame. By faith, we find our meaning, our identity in Christ, not in the things of this world. We trust in the promises of God through Christ. And since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all the way from the Old Testament, all through our church history, all the way to today, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your promises in Christ. We thank you for your grace and your goodness. We thank you for what you have done for us in Christ. Father, today we pray by your Spirit, you help us to persevere and trust in your promises, that we will take hold of that, we will grasp it and make it real and solid in our lives. That no matter what we are going through in our lives, that we will not be tossed to and fro by any situation that happens to us, but we have a solid foundation and rock in your promises, in your word. And as the pastor of Hebrews said, help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Help us to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Help us to look to him as our example. And Father, we look forward to the day that we will be with him forever. So Father, we ask that you do that for us, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.